Welcome to The Wrap, a weekly podcast covering women's sports news. Mills, what have we got this week?
Taking a look around the grounds, the Sydney Sixers have kicked off the WBBL with a win. Golf receives a massive funding boost. The route for women's Tour de France has been revealed and the Matildas prepare to take on Brazil on home soil.
For our key story, we'll discuss the incredible community in women's football that came together to help bring 50 soccer players from Afghanistan to Australia.
In the ice bath with Budgie Smuggler, we'll chat to Jess Duffin, who has made a WBBL comeback after giving birth last year.
Also, guys, we are on YouTube. We're back on YouTube, second week in a row.
Yeah, we've now got the wrap episodes on YouTube. We'll be filling in with some highlights. We'll also have the Budgie ice bath with Jess.
So we'll chuck the link in our bio on Instagram at the Female Athlete Project, and we'll also chuck it in the show notes as well. Give us a watch, like, comment, subscribe.
Yeah.
But first, let's take a look around the grounds. In cricket, the WBBL season has kicked off in Tassie, and the Sydney Sixers, I can't deal with you taking a sip of your tea.
Just having a cuppa while we're doing the wrap.
The Sixers started off with a win over the Melbourne Stars in a rain-affected match. The game was reduced to 11 overs each, and the Stars started off with a 100-run target for the Sixers to chase. So Elise Villani scored an exceptional 54 runs off 31 balls, but step in Alisa Healy. Incredible as always, Alisa Healy, who hit a match-winning 57 runs from 27 balls. Bit of doubt over the weekend as Hobart went into a snap lockdown, whether the games were going to go ahead, but with some pretty strict biosecurity measures in place, the WBBL was still able to go ahead, which was great news. In more cricket news we shared on our Instagram this week, there's a $1.2 million increase in retainers that will provide a higher base salary for female cricketers. So the WNCL players, the domestic players, will receive a 22% increase and the Big Bash players will receive a 14% increase in 2021-22.
That's what we like to hear.
Mm-hmm. It's nearly a $4 million investment overall to support the players, and it also includes additional wellbeing support and funding to allow players to bring partners and dependents with them during extended periods away from home.
How good.
Rate that.
In golf, the opening women's major of 2022 will have its prize fund boosted by 60% to $5 million. The elite LPGA Tour said after announcing a new title sponsor for the tournament. The event, previously known as the ANA Inspiration, will be renamed the Chevron Championship as part of a six-year deal with the tournament. It'll be held at its traditional location in Mission Hills in Rancho Mirage, California. At the end of March to the start of April in 2022, but moving to a different venue, likely to be in Houston for the following year. Unfortunately, the Australian golfing calendar has taken a bit of a hit. Both the men's and women's Australian Opens were cancelled for a second straight year as travel restrictions have continued to play havoc with international golf. Both events were meant to be played in early 2022, but citing pressure and risk of on host venues and the challenges of getting overseas players into Australia, the decision was made to focus on getting ready for the return of the two Opens in the 2022-2023 season.
In cycling, the route has been announced for the women's leg of the Tour de France. So it's pretty long awaited, this announcement. So it's going to be an 8-stage race, which will kick off on the 24th of July. So as the men's tour finishes, the women's 8-stage race will start. It's a massive announcement, but there's been a few women who have been campaigning for this for a really long time who've pointed out that there's still some pretty significant inequalities that exist. So if we look at the men's tour in 2022, it'll feature 21 stages compared to the women's 8. The prize money on offer is also significantly less for the women. So the yellow jersey winner in the men's tour will win €500,000, which is traditionally shared with teammates, and a further prize pot of more than €2 million on offer for stage victories and classification winners. While in the women's, the champion will take home €50,000, so 10% of the men's winner, with a further pot of €200,000, again, 10% of the men's. Along with broadcast, there's been a bit of, I guess, fire thrown at the broadcast from some women's events earlier this year where they kind of cut into the event halfway through the day, didn't show the whole event. And the argument is that you've got to create more live coverage. And I liked this idea, what they're campaigning for is that live coverage is the most important step in securing visibility. So they say if an equal number of hours of broadcast is presented to sponsors and investors, then we can have an equal prize purse for equal work and equal days. These two things can and must happen together.
In soccer, the Commonwealth Bank Matildas return to Australian soil for the first time in almost 600 days when they take on Brazil in Sydney this Saturday and next Tuesday. They've named a 23-player squad filled with both experience and youth. Unfortunately, injuries have ruled out players like Chloe Legazzo, Elise Kellen-Knight, Hayley Razzo and Emily Gilnick. So they were unfortunately unavailable. They're not available for selection. Western Sydney product and young Matildas forward, Briley Henry, has received her first call up to the senior national team and will join stars Ellie Carpenter, Emily Van Egmond, Kaya Simon, Caitlin Ford, and Captain Sam Kerr. It's obviously been a pretty turbulent few weeks for the Matildas. Obviously, everything going down with the announcement of this joint statement in response to the claim from Lisa Devanna that we discussed last week. So the statement acknowledged the allegations and essentially just reassured fans that the team's culture today is strong, professional, inclusive and supportive. A lot of the players shared this statement, including Captain Sam Kerr, who said, "I've been a part of this team for 12 amazing years, from 15 years old to now. Throughout my career, the Matildas have been a safe haven for me and allowed me to grow into the player and person I am today. I count myself lucky to be a part of this amazing group of athletes and people." Lisa's come out in a joint statement in the Daily Telly saying she was hurt by the Matildas' recent statement. She feels like she's always set as an outsider in the group and she's kind of had to stand on her own and stay true to herself. She went on to say that this whole, I guess, issue at hand is a lot bigger than the Matildas. She said Football Australia could be the benchmark of change right now for other codes to follow. It's up to them to make some big changes and it starts with listening to players from all levels of our game.
Let's take a look at the key story. So we're still on soccer for this one and there was a pretty rough patch when this story first came out, but it's pretty cool to hear the way that this has unfolded. So in August, as the US forces pulled out of Afghanistan and handed back control to the Taliban, a lot of women around the world held their breath. We didn't know what was going to happen to women over there and particularly female athletes. There was an Australian football referee, Joanna Charakdis, who was in lockdown in Melbourne. And she actually reached out to an Afghan woman who she'd met through football. She sent her a message on Facebook and she said, "Are you okay?" And she said the response she got was really quite scary. It said, "Look, it's really bad. I'm fearing for my life. I'm scared the Taliban is going to come for me because of my involvement in football." So Joanna really wanted to help, but she didn't really know where to start. She reached out to some friends within the football community and was eventually connected with former Matilda Moya Dodd, who was doing amazing work with Women Onside. So Women Onside is an incredible group of women in football, and they focus on policy development and advocacy, as well as professional development with an aim to provide improved opportunities and empowerment for all women involved in football. So Mills, these women found themselves in the middle of efforts to evacuate as many Afghan football women from Kabul as possible.
Yeah, so both Joanna and Moya basically became the contact points for the women on ground. They were relaying messages, tracking locations, fielding questions from them as, I guess, this evacuation unfolded. Joanna was saying, like, she was in constant, I guess, connection with her friend over there, and she said the chaos and fear cannot be overstated. She was feeling this sense of, like, helplessness being stuck in Melbourne and really wanting to be able to do whatever she could. But like ultimately it was out of her hands. She had to rely on them just to be able to get themselves to the airport to make sure the soldiers could go out and get them and bring them in. They ended up sitting outside the airport for 36 hours. And there's obviously that's such a long period, especially when you're on this waiting game on the other side of the world. Joanna was saying how she was like, how is she going to charge her phone? Like all these different things, like hoping that this plan will be able to unfold correctly. But after a long 2 days, the women, along with the Afghan football group, including the women's senior national team, made it to the airport where they slept on cardboard boxes on the runway, waiting to board the Australian Defence Force plane. Joanna got sent a photo when they're all on the plane and just said the big smile on her face was the best thing ever. to see that after 4 days of almost hell, not knowing what was going to happen and probably little hope before that, to see her standing in front of the plane, smiling, showing the peace sign, it was amazing.
Really special. And to see the group of 50 women footballers to land in Australia, and they obviously went and completed their hotel quarantine. So the next step from there was kind of trying to work out about food and clothing, because they pretty much just had the clothes on their back. So again, the group at Women On Side came together to set up this amazing support network. And one of my favorite stories to come out of that was the board director at Women On Side, Asma Mirzai, who's a former Afghan refugee herself. She was really desperate to help. And so she got her mum involved when she heard a few of the women were saying they really were missing some Afghan food. So she took to the kitchen to cook some homemade meals and Afghan bread and delivered it to the women and their families.
That's just so special hearing that. So, yeah, so the next step involved the help of more formal settlement services, but the role of Women On Side will remain important, and it's where football will play a much bigger role. Essentially, like, if you know, football is such a powerful tool, and she talks about this, Asma Mirzai was saying, like, football is such a powerful tool that mobilizes you and empowers you to be your best self. And she's just said how much it'll play a huge role in, I guess, them settling into life here in Australia is that community of football and having those people around you is going to be a really important tool for them. Where Women On Side will complement the government support is, yeah, really through that social engagement side of things.
Yeah, and I think it's amazing to see the role that sport can play, because we often talk about that, right, that
yeah.
Sport is so much bigger. But I think this is a really great example where it's they've been able to use networks to save these people's lives is what they've said.
It's incredible the community that it brings together.
Mm. Now it's time for the Budgie Ice Bath.
This weekend in the Big Bash saw the return to cricket for Jess Duffin, who is playing for the Melbourne Renegades. Duffin is one of the country's most successful cross-code athletes, playing AFLW for the North Melbourne Kangaroos. But in 2020, she sat out sport to spend time with her new daughter, Georgie. Duffin will bring a wealth of experience to the cricket pitch as the Renegades try to climb the ladder after finishing second last in the 2020-2021 WBBL season. When Jess last played for the Renegades, she earned Player of the Season honours with the team after accumulating 544 runs at an average of 68 across 13 innings. Chloe caught up with Jess early this week.
Jess, you guys started with a win over the Hobart Hurricanes on the weekend. How did it feel being back out there in the Big Bash?
Yeah, it was actually pretty exciting. Obviously, I missed last season, one, due to having Georgie, but also just with the hub and everything like that, it probably wasn't going to be ideal for her. So, I was just really excited to get back with the group. We've got a really young group this year and led by a new captain in Sophie Molyneux. So it was just exciting to get back out there and just have a run around.
How did you go? You had to do hotel quarantine when you got down to Tassie. How did you go with a little toddler running around locked in a hotel room?
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. I was pretty lucky. My husband, Chris, he actually came down and did the quarantine period with me. And then left 2 days later. So he did the hard yards and I kind of just helped when I could.
Glory.
Yeah, pretty much. If he wasn't there, it would have been a completely different story.
Yeah.
I think it would have been obviously a lot harder. And I'm just grateful that he could come for at least the quarantine period. He was either quarantining in Melbourne with all of our restrictions or in Tassie. So it was good that he could come.
How's the process been for you coming back from giving birth to preparing to play for two sports?
Yeah, I've said it quite a number of times. I think just you just don't think about what the woman's body goes through to obviously have Georgie and to come back from that. I thought it would take a lot less time. I was looking at Daisy who had twins and just came back the next season. So I probably shouldn't have done that to myself. it was an interesting kind of transition from obviously having Georgie then to trying to get the body right and play AFLW and Big Bash. So it was more just around the core. There's a lot of things that happen once you've given birth. So I'll keep that in mind for next time if I come back and play.
You were named last time you played with the Renegades. You were named, player of the season. How do you go? I'm interested around your mindset when you're coming back into that environment after being away. Like, do you still set really high standards for yourself, or is it kind of like I'm back, I'm just going to roll with it and see how we go?
Yeah, it's an interesting conversation to have, really, because my mindset coming into this season was anything can happen. Cricket's a completely different game to AFL. I guess cricket is an actual individual sport, because obviously you're, as a batter, you've got to make runs. As a bowler, you've got to take wickets kind of thing. So, yes, it's a team game, but it's a lot more individual, I find, than AFL. So, yeah, I'm obviously very nervous about coming back, and I have a very high expectation of the season I think I should have. But in reality, I think I've got to be a little bit, you know, kinder to myself in the fact that I'm coming back from having a child. I've had a year off, all that sort of stuff. So it might take a while to get back into it, but I've certainly got a high standard, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. And then what will the transition look like heading back to North for AFLW?
Yeah, so basically it's straight away. So depending on if the Renegades make finals or not, will dictate kind of when I go back. But I think it's the first week of December that I should be back with the AFLW. So it gives me, it's a roughly about a month to get ready for the season. So, you know, I'm not too concerned about it just because the North Melbourne Football Club are doing all my conditioning and strength programming here. So basically they just speak to the guy here that's helping me out at the Melbourne Renegades, and they coordinate it through each other. So as long as I'm getting the session done and I feel okay, I think that month will give me enough time.
We had a chat on season two of the podcast with Gretel Bowetta, who plays netball for Australia, and she had a baby and came back, and she kind of talked about the importance of still having female athletes involved in the sporting organisation, even while they're going through that pregnancy process.
Yep.
I know cricket is kind of ahead of the game with like the CBAs and pregnancy policies and things like that. But do you think there's any room for whether cricket or AFLW where there could be improvements made in that space?
I guess my experience is a little bit different, because when I missed the season, the girls were still playing and I still had the opportunity to go to the bubble. I just chose not to.
Mm.
But in saying that, you kind of feel away from the group as well. So, you know, it could have been done a little bit better in terms of just having me around, like in the group, I guess, through Zoom and all that sort of stuff. But it didn't really happen. But yeah, it's an interesting topic, because I'm a true believer of even if you are pregnant, you still have a role to play, whether that's obviously playing or not playing. And I feel like, yeah, that's a big space that we can get better at. I mean, just because we're pregnant doesn't mean that we still don't have that mindset of in the game or around the group. So, you know, we're still valuable in terms of our experience and everything like that. So, I agree. Probably there's still a little bit of work to do, but I think it's definitely getting better.
Yeah, good to hear. Best of luck with the rest of the Big Bash season, and I'll probably see you out there when it comes around to AFLW, but thanks so much for jumping on and having a chat with us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Let's take a look at what to watch.
In cricket, the WBBL continues with the Sydney Derby, scheduled for Saturday the 23rd of October at 3:40 p.m. You can watch live on Fox Cricket, KO and 7.
In soccer, the Matildas battle Brazil on Saturday at 7:50 p.m. If you can't get to CommBank Stadium, tune in on Channel 10. And that's the wrap.
See you next week. Love.